Hello, I'm Major Adrian Allman.
And I'm Captain Claire Allman.
Welcome to the Birmingham Citadel Salvation Army podcast series. Birmingham Citadel is a Christian church located in Birmingham city centre, here in the UK. Each episode is a live recording of the Bible message shared during the Sunday worship service.
It's good to have you share with us, and as you listen now, we pray that God will speak to you. May you know God's abundant blessing today. So last week, just a little recap for those of you who weren't here. Adrian spoke from the first part of the chapter that we've just read about us being letters of recommendation for Christ. And if you remember, in those days, as people travelled around, they would take letters of recommendation to those places where they were strangers so that they would be accepted into the community and homes and found trustworthy of good character. We were reminded that sometimes these testimonials did not mean very much. And in this chapter, Paul takes a bit of a side swipe at those who had been causing trouble for the Christian faith in Corinth by saying that their testimonials were written by those who would seek to undermine the Christian faith, such as representatives of the Jews who had come to undo Paul's work and who had brought introductory letters from the Sanhedrin to accredit them. Paul himself would have had such a letter as he set out to Damascus to obliterate the church. So he says, I don't need a letter of recommendation for you. The change should be evident in your character and how you are living. That was the commendation he needed. I wonder now if I say to you, look back on your week and think about what kind of letter you have been this week to the people around you. Have you been a letter that commends Christ? Or have, as he was speaking about, you been a scam letter? A letter that has not been truthful, that has not been who you should be. Have a think about that. I really felt convicted that the Lord was telling me to carry on with this chapter this morning. And so here we are. And the next verses talk about really what it means to be a living letter of Christ by living in the glory of the new covenant. And I'm going to continue to kind of use this letter analogy through that. We often talk about this old and new covenant, but what does that mean? A covenant is an arrangement made between two people through which they enter into a certain relationship. This is usually based on equal terms like marriage. In biblical covenant between humankind and God, God is the prime mover and approaches humankind to offer them a relationship on conditions which we could neither initiate nor alter, but only accept or reject. The old covenant in the Old Testament was a set of external regulations that was written on tablets of stone. It produced a legal relationship with God where laws must be kept. It was, in essence, a letter of death. Because for three reasons, it killed hope. We couldn't keep all the laws because of our human nature. Secondly, it killed life because we could earn nothing but condemnation. And thirdly, it killed strength because it told you what to do, but it couldn't help you do it. It did bring a new way of living and a standard set by God, which we should live by, and that was helpful, but it was so restrictive and unachievable as a whole. And when this letter of death was revealed, God delivered it, surrounded in glory, which was displayed in the countenance of Moses. His glory was an outward brightness because the people were directed to follow external regulations, the rituals, the priesthood, the temple, the sacrifices. And this radiance would fade or pass away over time. Obviously, the people were impressed with Moses' glowing face. It was a physical sign for them that Moses had been communing with God. They didn't just have to take him at his word that he'd been with God. They could see it in his face. The glowing face of Moses was the residue of God's reflection on him. But Moses started wearing a veil to cover his face after he'd been with God. Firstly, because the people couldn't handle it. Although they were impressed, they couldn't handle it. They were scared. Seeing a glowing face had to be a little frightening. Because of that, the veil stopped them from seeing the full glory of God. It made me think, you know, often we wear a veil that limits our view. Not a physical one, but perhaps a spiritual one, one that stops us fully from seeing God, seeing and understanding all that God wants to reveal to us. Perhaps in Scripture we wear a veil of prejudice where we use Scripture to support our own views rather than find the truth of God. We can wear a veil of wishful thinking where we find what we want to find in Scripture and neglect what we don't want to see. For example, we like to read about God's love and mercy, which is great, but we perhaps we skip over the wrath and the judgment bit as well. The veil can also come between us and God through our disobedience and our unteachable spirit. There's a Scottish saying that goes, "There's none so blind as those who winna see." Is that you this morning? Do you wear any of those veils? I know that I can often be guilty of putting them on, and thus not fully seeing God in his full glory. But secondly, Paul believed that Moses was covered his face because he didn't want the people to see God's reflection fading. Seeing the reflection of God on Moses' face fading could have been defeating for them. They could have started wondering, hey, does that mean God's abandoned us? Does that mean he's no longer with us? Paul was basically telling us that Moses' glowing face was a representative of the old covenant. It was a physical reminder that the old covenant was temporary, that it wasn't to last forever, that something else was going to come along and replace it. And it needed replacing because you and I, we couldn't keep our end of the bargain with God, which was to follow the law. This letter of death that came by Moses, it was true and it was great. And of course, most of the laws of this land are still based on some of it because we needed to and still need to have order. But in terms of God's covenant relationship with us, it was only a partial letter. The rest of that letter is revealed in the new covenant, in the revelation in Jesus Christ, which is full and final. The old covenant, the letter of death, was second best. It was a stage along the way. One commentator said that of the old covenant, when the sun has risen, the lamp ceased to be of use. It revealed to us by Moses as a step to glory. The new letter, the letter of hope, revealed to us through Jesus Christ, the summit of glory. You know, we must be careful not to worship the stages instead of the goal. Not to cling to the second best while the best is waiting. Not as the Jews did, to insist that the old ways are right and refuse the new glories which God is opening to us. Now, if the law, the old covenant, the letter of death was all that we had, we would be stuck in a sad state of condemnation before God. However, we can thank God for his new covenant, a letter of hope. And this new covenant doesn't require a veil to be worn. Some of you here may have had an operation to remove a cataract from your eye. Now, the cataract is like a veil, perhaps, over the eye, which stops you from seeing all that there is to see. It stunts your vision. And with the cataract, you can still see, but not very well. And the longer it's there, the worse your vision gets, until it's removed. And the testimonies of those who have had it removed, many of them would talk about the remarkable improvement in the vision that it brings. It brings technicolor, life into technicolor, and so bright and sharp. And the same thing is true spiritually. Some of you know that the way you live your life could be better, but you just don't know how much better. There's a veil that's blocking your view. The veil for many of us, as it was for the people Paul was writing to, is this: if we think we can gain a relationship with God if we do enough good things. The people Paul wrote to thought if they could follow the law of Moses, they'd be good before God. But of course, the problem with doing that is because of our human nature, we can't perfectly follow it. So the law actually ended up disqualifying us from God. So how can we therefore be made right with God? How can we see God's full glory? Well, we need to remove that veil that's stunting the truth of God in all its glory, in all his glory. And in verse 16, Paul said that the veil can be removed whenever anyone turns to the Lord. That's it. The veil can be removed whenever anyone turns to the Lord. God desires everyone to have the veil removed. He wants us all to see clearly, see him clearly. And so turning to Jesus is about us placing our trust, our reliance in him, as opposed to ourselves. And when we do that, God, through his Spirit's power, begins to transform us from the inside out. Think back to Moses and his glowing face for a moment. Remember when I told you that the glow was temporary? It eventually faded away. The sacrificial system started during Moses' day, and the people had to sacrifice animals to God constantly as a payment for their sins, because the sacrifices weren't enough to last for a long time. You see, the sacrifices dealt with the surface sin and not with the heart. The heart is where everything, all our attitudes, our actions, and thoughts come from. Of course, I don't mean the actual organ. I mean the actual essence of who we are. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." You want to know what kind of condition your heart is in? Then take a look at and see how you treat others. Examine your thought life. Examine your attitudes. Examine your actions. What comes out of you gives a reflection of what's on your heart. How's your heart today? How's your heart? How's your heart? Only you and God can answer that truthfully today. Proverbs 27, verse 19 says, "As water reflects the face, so one's life reflects the heart." So how can our heart be changed if it's naturally deceitful and beyond cure? We can only gain freedom from the nature of our hearts when we surrender ourselves to this new covenantal relationship with God. And in doing so, we die to ourselves and we are new creations in Christ. This new covenant is not an external legal-based contract letter which we can't fulfill. Instead, it's an internal connection through the power of the life-giving Spirit which changes our heart. It's based on a relationship of love. It's based on a relationship of God being our Father and we his children, rather than a judge and a criminal by default because of our human nature. And it gives strength for us to fulfill our part in the covenant. It produces pardon and life and hope. And because of this, we can gaze at Jesus directly. And the more we do that, the more we reflect him and his image appears in our lives. What is it the young people sing? "Shine from the inside out, that the world may see you live in me." The letter of death condemned. The letter of hope provides a way we can be saved. We find that hope in Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the letter of hope to all who stand condemned, that's us all, and who would believe in him. We are letters that should read of his hope. Will you live in such a way that your life will reflect the love of Jesus Christ to anyone who sees it? Will you take this letter of hope, this gospel of Jesus Christ, to those who are in darkness, whose vision of God's glory is stunted, and help them to see it in all its fullness? You know, there are many who stand with the death letter, who have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they stand condemned to a life of eternal punishment in hell. That's what the Bible says. That's what our doctrines say. We might not want to hear it, because perhaps we know a loved one for whom this applies. But it's the truth. Let's do everything with the power of God in this new covenant to bring those in darkness the letter of hope, salvation through Jesus Christ. As Christians, we are living letters, not letters of death, but letters of hope. Be a living letter, a letter of hope, as you leave this place today and within this place as well. you know, as we spend a few moments in reflection and response, we're going to sing a song which the words you may not be familiar with, but the tune of Londonderry Air will be very familiar. The words speak to me of what it means to become letters of hope. And it says this: what grace is mine, that he who dwells in endless light called through the night to find my distant soul, and from his scars poured mercy that would plead for me, that I might live and in his name be known. So I will go wherever he is calling me. I lose my life to find my life in him. I give my all to gain the hope that never dies. I bow my heart, take up my cross, and follow him. And as we sing, let's open ourselves to allow God to speak to us, to challenge us, to encourage us to be letters of hope, and help us to see what that means, to be reflecting his glory and sharing the good news where we are. Is that you? Is that you? Or perhaps this morning you need God to do some work in your life to get you on that path. You need him to help you change your heart from the inside out. Do you need to turn to the Lord, as it says in Scripture, to turn to the Lord, to allow him to unveil the veil on your face, on your eyes? Well, let's sing this together and allow the Lord to speak to you and reveal himself, perhaps in a very special way this morning, so that you can reflect him more in your lives. Thank you. That at these moments sometimes we fill it with songs and we don't actually have time to really reflect and allow God to speak to us. And so I'm just simply going to ask that, John, you would just play that, and just in the quietness we don't need to think about singing, we don't need to think about words, but we just think about what God is trying to say to us, what God is trying to reveal to us about how we are living our lives. and how we can better do that just now. So John, will you just play that through again?
As people are at our mercy seat this morning, we're going to pick up that little verse that says, "What grace is mine to know his breath alive in me?" Because this is what happens when we reflect. We allow the Spirit to just move and to just speak into our lives. And this morning, let's do that. We can do it quietly. We don't, as Claire says, have to belt out the song. Let's just do it quietly. "What grace is mine to know his breath alive in me?"
What grace is mine to know his breath alive in me? Beneath his wings, my waking soul lay sore. Oh, fear can flee, for death's dark night is o'er.
Conscious of the beauty of the new covenant, a covenant that's based upon grace, of transformation through the Spirit working within, not a covenant based upon rules and regulations that we are powerless to keep, but one that's based upon the power of the Spirit working in us and changing us from within. And this morning, in these quiet moments, with eyes closed, we just open ourselves to the Spirit. We take a good long look at life. We take a good long look at faith. And we know that it's not an easy journey always. It's not a perfect journey. And yet there are times, Lord, that faith becomes fraught with doubt and fear. And this morning we ask that you will come in truth and refresh us again, fill us with that real desire to be all that you would want us to be in these days, so that we can go wherever you are calling us, so that we can lose our life and find our life in you. And this morning, Lord, we give our all. We give our all and ask that instead you'll fill us afresh with your hope in every good way. Lord, bless us, and thank you for these moments of reflection and quietness that we find in this place today. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Thank you for listening to our podcast this week.
So you don't miss any further recordings, please subscribe to this podcast and also share and review it to help other people find and join our Birmingham Citadel online congregation.
This has been a production for Birmingham Citadel Salvation Army in the United Kingdom. If you'd like to know more about us or want to worship with us, then visit our webpage at birminghamcitadel.co.uk.